Begin the current daf Masechtas B'Metzia daf Lamed Tes. Begin three lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues to the Braisa that we began on the previous daf. That is, the Gemara was saying that this Machlekes Rav and Shmuel regarding if a Yerid or Yerish L'Nichsei Shavui, if someone gets taken to captivity and his field is lying fallow, no one's taking care of it, do we bring the closest inheritor to take over the field or not? Was Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara says it's actually Machlekes Tanoim, Rav Shmuel and Rabbanan. And in that, that was the middle case of three cases that the Braisa spoke about that the Gemara quoted. First case was what's called a Shavui, someone that's taken to captivity, but specifically that we heard that he died. There, everyone agrees, as the Gemara said, Rabbi Shmuel both agree too, that then we bring a Yerush to take over and do the work in the field. Then there's what's called Nichsei Netushim, which, as the Gemara explained, means to say that someone forcibly was taken away and that his field is now being not taken care of because something like when he was taken in captivity. That's the machlekes between Shimon Gli and the Rabbanon, which is the machlekes of a Yerid Yerushal Nichsei Shavui or not. And then there was Nichsei Retushin, which is when it's deserted, but not because forcibly, is where the person just, he went away somewhere, no one knows where he went, and he just left his field without saying anything, then no one's allowed to go in, and then we remove the guy who goes into that field. That was the Braisa up until this point. So continues the Braisa, Tanu, we learned that Braisa, that concludes the kulam, and in all of those types of people that when they're yerid into that person's field who's not around right now, which the Gemara surely is going to explain on which one of these categories is that talking about, more of a, when we're saying a general statement, what are we coming to include? But and that's what the Braisa says, of a kulam, shamalem ka'aris. We evaluate the work that he does as a sharecropper. In other words, if let's say the owner ultimately comes back to his field, so the guy who was working on this field up until now, he takes in the increase of the land and of the produce that he produced, like the custom is how much sharecroppers get paid in that location, whether it be a half of the profit, a third, or a quarter, that's how we evaluate him. That's what the Braisa says. And that has the Gemara Ahai. On which one of these three categories that the Braisa spoke about is the Braisa qualifying that the work that he does, if the owner ultimately comes back, so he doesn't get to keep it because the owner's here, but he would get paid like a sharecropper, which is that's really what a sharecropper does. He works in someone else's field for pay. So which case is it going on? Ilei Mashvui, if it's going on the first category of the guy who was taken to captivity and we heard that he died, that has the Gemara, wait a second. On that, Hashta, by that case, the Braisa said, Zarez v'niskrahava. He's, if he's quick, he gains, he actually could take all the produce that was made over there. So my da'ashbach mebayu, so regarding this, that he increased the value, do we have to tell you that he would take like a sharecropper? What do you mean? He takes everything. That work that he did, he takes it all for himself. So what is it that we're saying that we qualify him like a sharecropper? Ella, aretushim, must be, let's say, is going on the third category. That of when the guy, he forsook his field, but not through any force. He just went away, didn't tell him where he went. On that estigma, that's where the Braisa is saying that the guy who worked gets paid like a sharecropper. To the contrary, the Braisa told us we actually remove him from the field, he gets nothing. So Ela Anatushim, rather must be going the middle category, when his land was forsaken by force. He was forcibly taken away from his land. So the Gemara is Laman, according to whose opinion is it going like? Ilim the Rabbanon, if it's going like the Rabbanon, Harami Metzinas Miyada. They say Natushim is the same as Retushim, that we remove the person from the field. And he doesn't get anything. So how can we say that what he gets like a sharecropper, but he doesn't get anything? And Irib Shimingam Lil, and if it's like Shimingam Lil, Ha'amar Shematish on Netushim Keshvuin. He already said that Netushim are just like the Shvuin, like the first category, where, and therefore back to the question, just like Shvuin, they take everything, so too, here the Netushim would also take everything, and therefore, again, what's the necessity of saying it's like a sharecropper? Of course, because he would actually even be able to take the produce before the guy comes, all for himself. So that the Gemara explains, no, it is going like a Shimingam Leel on the case of Netushim, and it's not difficult, even though he says that it's like Shvuyin, and therefore like Shvuyin, then of course he gets to take it, for sure like a sharecropper, he really could take the whole thing. What's the Chiddush in that? And that explains the Gemara, when Shimingam Leel said that Netushim are like Shvuyin, it's Kishvuyin v'loy Shvuyin. It's like the first category of when he was taken captivity and he died, but not totally like that. Kishvuyin, it's like the category of when he was taken captive and then we heard that he died. That what he took, what he earned, and he already ate up, we don't remove that from him. But not totally like shvuyin. The ilo hasam zarz v'nisker. Because in contrast to the case of Shvuyin, when we already heard that the owner had died, obviously we were wrong because the owner comes back, but we heard that he died. So when this guy, the relative, comes to work on the field, his intention is, I'm getting everything out of this field. Because he doesn't think the guy's coming back. They heard rumors that he died. There is where we say that even if we hear the owner's coming back, you could take everything quickly before he comes, rip out the fruits and take it for yourself. Because that was the intention when you came to the field, you thought you're going to get everything for yourself. But in the middle case of Netushim, where they didn't hear that he died, they just know that he was taken to captivity, which he's forcibly removed from his field. When the guy, when the closest relative comes to work on the field, it wasn't with the intention of he's thinking he's getting everything. Rather, his intention was, very likely the owner's going to come back. He was just taken as a captive. But his intention was, okay, you know what, even if he's going to come back, at least I'll take like a sharecropper of every single year that I work, and the rest of the fruits will be left for the owner. So therefore, Shemin Likaris, that's why we evaluate him like an Aris, like a sharecropper, and not like the case of Shvuyin in the first category where he gets to take everything. Now, however, the Gemara asks on this halacha of the Braisa, U'mayishnam hadetnan, why is it different than that way we learned in Mishnah Masechtas Ksubas? The Mishnah says, Hamitzi haitzois al nichsei ishtei. If somebody spends money, expenses for his wife's property, which specifically the case of what's called nichsei milug. Nichsei milug is properties that the wife brings into the marriage, which the principal she owns, but the utility of it, the payers of it, the derivatives, the husband gets to use. So the husband gets profits out of it. His wife owns it, but he's using it, he's doing everything with it. So he spends a lot of money for upkeep. He got to change this part and do this and do that. So says the Mishnah, if Haitzi Harbav Achel Kimmel, let's say he spent so much money on it, he had to pay for this and then something else happened, but he only ended up eating a little bit, he didn't get that much benefit out of it. But he did this before she died or before he divorced her. Or the other way around. Let's say Kimmel Achel Harbav, let's say he invested very little in his wife's property and he consumed a lot out of it. Says the Mishnah, doesn't make a difference. Masha Haitzi, Haitzi, whatever he spent, he spent. Umasha Achel Achel, whatever he ate, doesn't make a difference. So the question is, why is a husband in his wife's property different than the relative in the relative in the owners who's the captive, where there we say that we're treating him like an aris. Where it's not we say what he spent what he ate. We say that no, you're gonna eat because you're like a sharecropper, but we qualify you like a sharecropper, then why don't we say the same thing by the husband and the wife? Then we also qualify as a sharecropper. Why over there do we say what you spent, what you ate. So that the Gemara says no, because Haloi Damyam, you can't compare this case of when the person was taken as a captive, to the case that you're asking for the Mishnah Masechtas Ksubas to a husband or with a wife, al lahadit nan. Rather, you could compare it to this that we learned in the Mishnah, which actually the Girsa is that it's regarding what Rabbi Yaakov said in the name of Rav Chisda, as it's brought in Ksubas of Pei Amar Alv, that he said the following halacha: Hamaitzi haitzois, which we're going to compare it to a wife, but a minor wife. If someone spends money on the properties of his minor wife. Now what that means is, not just a minor that her father married her off, which that would be a biblical marriage. We're talking about an orphan that her father died, and her mother and her brother married her off to another person. Now, that is not biblical marriage, because only a minor could be married off by her father biblically. But it's rabbinic marriage. The rabbis instituted that she should be able to get married, that she should have a man taking care of her. Now, therefore, she's allowed to do what's called miyun, to refuse her husband's marriage if she wants to, forcibly against his will. She can go ahead and leave that marriage. So regarding such a marriage, if the husband spends money on his wife's properties, so then it's kemitzi al nichsei achardami. It's like he spent money on someone else's property, meaning that whatever he spent, if he didn't consume according to how much he spent, then we qualify him like an aris, like a sharecropper. That's what the halacha says from Rav Chisda. Says the Gemara, Alma, so we see, why is that different? Why is a husband with a minor wife different than a husband with an adult wife? Why by adult wife we say what he spent what he ate, and here we say we qualify him like a sharecropper? It's because, kiven de leisam chadaite, since the husband is not so confident with a minor wife that he should be able to possess what he has over here, because he's concerned that, what am I, going to invest money in her property? She's a minor. She could walk out any day from me. Regular wife can't just walk away. He has to give her a get. It's his decision. A minor wife could just walk out on him. So he's not so confident. So tekinya le rabbanon, so therefore, since he's concerned that, why should I invest, the rabbis instituted that he should take like a sharecropper. Why? So that he shouldn't totally ruin his wife's, the minor wife's property, because what he's going to do is, I don't know, any day she might walk up. Let me just take whatever I can take to constantly be planting and not to leave it fallow or to plow. He's just going to use it and use it and use it because she might just leave on me. So that he shouldn't just abuse it, we said, no, don't worry. You're not going to lose. It's worthwhile for you also to invest in the land because you'll get paid like a sharecropper. You won't just lose if you invest. So that's the same thing over here. In the case of the captive where the relative comes to work in it, we went and the rabbis made him like a sharecropper, so that he also shouldn't come in and say, I don't know, maybe this guy might come back any day. And therefore he's going to go ahead and just abuse it and abuse it. So that he shouldn't to say, look, you'll also make the profits. You'll make like a sharecropper, a half or a third or a quarter, and therefore he won't go ahead and abuse it. That's why the rabbis went and made it different than the wife, where that's all him. So anyways, we say what he spent and spent what he ate. In contrast to the case of a minor wife and the case over here where the person could just lose it right away, we don't want him to abuse it, that's why we treat him like a sharecropper. Now, the Brisa said that, as we explained, it was going according to Reb Shimon Gamliel in the case of Netushim, the Kulan Shamalem Ka'aris. And all of them, we evaluate him, the work that he did by going down to the relative's land like a sharecropper. So they want us, the Kulan Lasuyimai, what's this term? And all of them we qualify like a sharecropper. It sounds like it's coming to include something. I mean, we know it's talking about the case of Netushim, when the person had to leave his field, like Reb Shimon Gamliel. So, but what's the term and all of them? So I think what it says is coming to include something that's included in the category of Netushim according to Reb Shimon Gamliel. That's what it says in Bekulan. It's Klasui, it's coming to include Ha, this halacha of Rav Nachman, regarding a guy who runs away because of murder. Because the Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Rav Nachman had said over the name of Shmuel that Shabish and Nishba, a captive that was taken in captivity. So there the halacha is, my reading Karval in the Chasim, as we said, like Reb Shimon Gamliel, the halacha is that you are your Yerish Lenichse Shabu, we take a relative down to work the land. But Yatzladas, the guy leaves on his own, that's what we call before Ritushin. So then everyone agreed, Ein my reading Karval in the Chasim, then we don't bring down the relative to the properties, because since this guy was sane when he left, and he didn't say anyone should work his field when he left, so therefore obviously that means to say he doesn't want anyone to do anything with this field. No, but that was Rav Nachman, the name of Shmuel. For Rav Nachman, the Deyamah, however, Rav Nachman himself says that by Reyach Harehu Kershavu, a guy who runs away, he flees, is like a captive, meaning that it wasn't so clear of thought because he was very confused and very confounded when he ran away, and therefore actually would be like a captive, and then the person would be able to go down to his field and work it. So the Gemara is by Reyach Machmasmai. When Rav Nachman says that although Shmuel, he said over the name of Shmuel, when the guy leaves on his own, you can't send someone down. He said, no, when the guy runs away, it is like a captive. You could send someone down to the field. What was he running away from? If he was running away because of he didn't have the taxes to pay to the government, and if he was running away before they come to collect the taxes, well, hainu ladas. That's with clear of mind, because no confusion, then he knows that it's not April 15th, he knows it's not the time yet they're going to come after him. So there's no behal over there, so then why would it be that you could put someone down? Now, obviously, you didn't want anyone to go into this field. Ella rather says, the Gemara Berech Machmas Mardner. If Nachman's talking about where he's running away because he killed someone, and by the Persian government, for murder, they execute somebody. As the Gemara says, Baba Kamadav Kofid Zayin and Medalev. So therefore, Rav Nachman says that case is considered like Netushim, when someone forcibly is taken away from his land, meaning it's not like indicative from the fact that he didn't tell anyone, like the case of Netushim, that he doesn't want anyone to go down. No, just like when someone's taken captive against his will, or even has to run away, which he's so confused, there also the halacha would be, says Rav Nachman, and that's what the term Bekulon's coming to include, that's also considered in this case of Netushim, like Rav Shimon Gamliel, where then we're going to treat whoever comes down and they could go down there, and we'll treat him like an aris, like a sharecropper. Gemara continues with a related discussion on this halacha. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shavu Shenishba, a captive that's taken in captivity, Ve'nich Kama Liktzer, and he left the standing grain that's ready to be reaped, or Anavim Liktzer, or the grapes are ready to be plucked, or Tamar Ligder, or the dates are ready to be gathered, or Zeisan Limsik, or the olives are ready to be taken in. Says Shmuel, Bezdin Yardin L'chasav. So the courts go down to his properties. U'mamid Napetrapas. First they appoint a caretaker, and they go and they gather all these fruits which are already prepared and they put it in storage for the owner. Now, after that, now it's already a long haul. That was an easy job. So that they could just get apotropos caretakers to do that. But afterwards, my reading karavan lechasim. Then they bring down the relatives to the properties so that they could work it and increase the value of the land. And then again, as we said before, then that relative takes like a sharecropper. And the Gemara asks on this halacha of Shmuel, but why do we do it like that? Why don't we always make for the entirety of when this guy's missing, put up a caretaker that shouldn't take anything? Why do we make a relative that the relative is going to want to get, and we have to compensate him, or else he might go ahead and, you know, take and just not give anything to the field? Put a caretaker, and then the guy won't lose anything. That says the Gemara, no. Betrapa lidiknani lemikminan. We don't put a caretaker for an adult, for an elderly person. In other words, the courts don't go through the effort of finding someone that wants to do the mitzvah of being a caretaker for adult people that already have a full beard, because they're not going to find anyone. Because for orphans, so there are people that hear about it and they want to do a mitzvah for orphans that don't have anyone to take care of them. But for elderly people are not going to be willing to listen to it, and therefore, who's going to do it? We got to get a relative who, anyways, might get the whole thing himself, and so he'll do it, but we got to pay him like a sharecropper. Continuing on these halachas, some Rav Huna says, Imaridin katan l'nichzei shavui. Although we said that we bring a relative down to the properties of someone that was taken as a captive, but we don't put a minor who, let's say he's the next in line to inherit, but if he's a minor, we don't put him in control of those properties. And also another halacha, like karvel l'nechzei katan. When there's a minor who he also can't take care of his land, so we need someone else, then we don't bring a relative to take care of the minor's field. And the third halacha, like karvel machmas karvel l'nechzei katan. Although we said that when there's a minor, so we'll have to have someone else take care of it, but we said that we don't have a relative take care of it, neither do we have a relative of a relative to take care of that minor's properties. As the Gemara explains these three halachas. Eimaridin katnal nechse shavui, we don't bring down a minor to a captive's land, even if he's the next in line to inherit the land, because he might just ruin the land. He's a minor, he's a child, he doesn't know what to do. It's better to bring a foreign person than have, in this case, the relative. Usually the relative is the best because he's the one that's going to take over, but this guy's too immature. He's a child, he's going to ruin it, he's going to spend it all. So you'd rather get a unrelated person. The other halacha that said, v'lekarv machmas karv l'nechse katan, that we don't bring down a relative of a relative to the properties of a minor, what that's talking about is ba'achi ima. Is a maternal brother. So for example, if let's say the minor had a paternal brother. Now, that paternal brother had a maternal brother, where that maternal brother of the paternal brother is unrelated to that minor. That's halacha that Rav Huna is saying, that we don't take that maternal brother of that paternal brother of the minor to go ahead and take over the minor's property, because since he's related to that minor's paternal brother through their mother, they have the same mother. So then the problem is, he might take possession of the land and say, oh, this is my brother, my maternal brother's land, and he's going to say that it was really always his because he inherited it from his father and it's his portion that he got it. So therefore, since his maternal brother is a paternal brother of the minor, so the maternal brother, since he has some relationship with him, is going to say, oh, this is not that minor's land, this is my maternal brother. And how is it his land? Because you thought it was the miners? No. They were paternal brothers, and it was his part of the inheritance. So to prevent that, we say that even the relative of the relative can't take over the miners' land. And for sure, included in this is v'loy karev, and neither could the relative who's fit to inherit go ahead and take care of l'nichse katan for the properties of a miner to work the land and to eat it, like an aris, even delay machi, because since the minor doesn't know how to protest, he's just a child. So then that relative is going to come lachzukebe to take possession of the land and say, "Oh, this wasn't that minor's land. This was mine. It was my part of the inheritance." So therefore, it's better to have a foreign person take over the land so that he won't be able to claim that it was his inheritance. Who are you? You're not related to the family at all. Better than have situations where they might say that it was really theirs and it wasn't the minor's. Now, Amar Rava, Rava says, Shema min amid Rav Huna. One thing we learn from this halacha Rav Huna, that regarding this that he said that we don't take a relative to take over and work in the land of the minor because the minor can't do it, so we don't have the relative come in and take it over because he might then take possession of it and say that it was really all along his inheritance. But what Rav Huna was saying, but that we actually bring someone else that won't have the claim of inheritance, him we do bring down to work the field, And we're not concerned that maybe he's going to claim, this foreign person, that, oh, what do you mean? The father of this minor had sold it to me, and I even ate it for 3 years as a chazaka, to show that that's usually, as the Gemara Baba Basra it talks about at length, that if someone eats it for 3 years, it's considered a chazaka. It doesn't even have to show any proof that it's his. That he ate for 3 years, no one protests, it shows that it's his. Obviously, from Rav Huna, we see that Eimach Zigim Nechzikat, that a person cannot take possession through a chazaka of eating it for 3 years if it's the properties of a minor, if he didn't eat it for 3 years while the father was still alive. So the 3 years that he ate it while the minor was there is not going to be considered a chazaka. And as Gemara continues on the base, and that's Vafila Higdal. And that's even if the minor had already become an adult from when this guy had taken it over, and then he ate 3 years in front of the minor when he was over 13, it's not going to be considered a chazaka. The reason being is because since when he initially went to take that land and to take care of it, the child was a minor, so he didn't even know when he became an adult that it was his father's, and therefore he never protested. Now, the reason why this is proof from Rav Huna's halacha is because if Rav Huna would hold that this person could make a chazaka on these fields from the minor, if he has it for 3 years after the minor becomes an adult, then how would Rav Huna allow even a foreign person to take over and work the land of a minor? Then you have the same concern as the relative. Maybe if he's going to hold on to it when the child's already an adult, and he's going to claim that you sold it to me when you became an adult, and I ate it for 3 years, and you didn't protest, so obviously it's mine. Obviously, that Rav Huna holds that you cannot have a chazaka, because if you would think that you could, then he wouldn't have allowed that either, just like he doesn't allow karv b'nechzei katan. Now, however, the Gemara qualifies below Amaran, but we didn't say this, that we do, like Rav Huna's halacha, that we don't put a relative into the properties of a minor, says Rava Ela ba'achid da'aba, only by a paternal brother, where then he's going to claim that it was his inheritance, not the minor's. Ba'achid de'ima leslamba. But if he's a maternal brother, then we have no problem, even though he's a relative, because how are you going to claim it's yours? We don't share inheritance. Inheritance goes by the father, not by the mother. We didn't have the same father. How could you claim it's yours? And moreover, says the Gemara, ba'achid da'aba namilamaran, we didn't even say that it's a problem by a paternal brother, Ela ba'arasa, only if it's by land, by fields. But regarding houses, for him to take care of his home, that is no problem, because the neighbors, since we're talking about the houses, will testify and they say, we know that this is the miner's house. Fields are somewhere out there, no one's going to know, so that's a problem. But by houses, there's no problem about a relative, even the paternal brother. Moreover, says the Gemara, and even by land, by fields, we also didn't say it's a problem. Only if when they had actually split the Yerusha, they didn't make these documents of inheritance to show who gets what. But if they made these documentation, then the word is out. Everyone knows that it's the minor's land, and therefore there wouldn't be a problem even to have the relative who is a paternal brother work even land. Now, however, the Gemara says, but it's not the way that we just said. It doesn't make a difference if it's a paternal brother, which is definitely a problem, and even a maternal brother. Now, why is there a concern by a maternal brother? Because maybe this guy is going to say that this land was actually my mother's. We have the same mother. It was my mother's nichse miluk, which she owns it. Now, the father of the minor was my mother's husband. He took possession of it because he ate all the peris, so it, on the surface it looked like his. But really it was my mother's. Now, my father died before my mother, and he didn't inherit it, because the father died first, says this guy. So now I inherited half of it because of my mother. That's what this guy's saying, because really, we share mothers. So it's not the minors, because it was my portion in the inheritance, because actually it was nichsi milug. So there could be an element of complaint, of problematic, of even a maternal brother, because when they share the same mother, even though they don't share the same father, there could be concern, because since they share the same mother, and this guy who was getting this inheritance, this minor from his father, this guy could claim that really it wasn't the father's. It was actually his wife's, which was this guy's mother, which he shares the same mother with this minor, and therefore he says it belongs to him. So therefore, even there, we don't let this guy work the land, because he might make that claim. Also, loishna aras of loishna bati, says the Gemara. It also doesn't make a difference if it's land or houses. It doesn't make a difference if they made this documentation when they split up or they didn't. The halacha is we never allow a relative to go ahead and work the field of a minor because, again, of problems that might arise where he might then stake a claim and say that it's his and not the minor's. Now, the Gemara brings a story related to these halachas. Ahi savsa, the havilah tlas bansa. There was an elderly woman that had three daughters. Now, ishtabai ihi v'chad debrata. Now, the mother and one of the daughters were taken as captives. Now, idach tarti bansid, so the remaining two daughters, shchi v'chad minayu v'shavki yinuka. One of those remaining two daughters passed away and left a child, a son. So, I'm Abaye Heichanavitz. Abaye says, what should we do with the properties of the elderly woman that we don't know if she's alive or if she's dead because she was taken as a captive? As he says, if we shall leave the properties in the domain of the sister who's still alive, who's here. Now, the reason why we would think to do that is because the halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel, because Shmuel paskins like Reb Shimon Gamliel, and we paskin like Shmuel, that he says that we are Yershin l'nichsei shavuot. There are captives over here. So we have the relative, the closest relative, go ahead and work the land. Now that the problem is, Dilma Shchibasav, so we can't just necessarily do that. Because maybe, we don't know, maybe the elderly woman passed away. If she passed away, so the minor has a portion in that inheritance. And the reason why he has a portion is because he's the inheritor of his mother, who's one of the three daughters. And whether she's alive or not, he's getting that inheritance, and maybe his mother passed away too, and he's getting it, and therefore he has a portion. So either he has a portion, or maybe he actually even gets half, because maybe, no, his mother actually was the one of those that definitely died. Now, either he gets a portion, or maybe even he gets half, because maybe both of the captives died, his grandmother and his aunt. So now there's only two people left, which is him and his other aunt, because his mother died already before. So since maybe the grandmother passed away and he has a Yerusha, so the problem is, you can't now put the remaining aunt over here to take over the lands, because Ve'ema Ridin Krav L'Nechse Katan, like Rav Huna said, we don't put a relative to take care of the properties of the minor. So what do we do? On the one hand, if they're captives, we would want the aunt to take it over, because that's Halacha Shem Leil. On the other hand, if the grandmother really died, then it's really the minors, and we can't have the aunt go ahead and take care of that land. So, So we can't have the aunt. And if you would think to say that, okay, so that we let the child go ahead and take over the care of the properties, now there's a concern that but maybe the grandmother didn't die, and maybe the minor has no portion in it, because he has no portion, it's only if the grandmother died. Now, if he has no portion, problem is, so all he would be doing would be taking care of the property of the captives, but we don't allow, that's the other halacha, we don't allow a minor to take care of the properties of the captives because he might ruin the fields. So what do? We can't give it to the aunt, we can't give it to the minor. So Abaye said, Hilkach, therefore, palga yavino lalachsa. So half, either way you look at it, we're going to give to the remaining sister over here. Because if both captives died, meaning one of her sisters already died who has a child over here too. There's a sister and her mother that's captive. If both captives died, so then she anyway is inheriting half. And even if they didn't die, but still we put a relative to take care of the properties of the captives. Now, v'idach palga, but the other half, mekmin la petrapali yinuka. For that other half, we appoint a caretaker for that child, and we don't put the child himself to take care of it, because if they had both died, so then the child gets that half. But maybe they didn't die. And if they didn't die, we don't allow a cotton to take care of the properties of the captives. So we have a caretaker take care of it in care of the minor, where if they had died, it's the minors. If they didn't, so then that caretaker is taking care of it for the aunt and for the grandmother. Rav Amay disagrees with Abaye. He says, no, migid mekmina betrabal lapalga, once we're already appointing a caretaker anyway for half of the properties, which that's possibly the child's property, but possibly not. So mekmina betrabal idach palga, so Rav says, already appoint a caretaker for the whole thing, including the other half, we don't give it to the aunt. That's what Rav holds. Now, says the Gemara, l'sayif shamu d'shchibes hapsa. At the end, they actually heard word that the grandmother, the elderly woman, had passed away. Now, however, regarding her daughter that was also as a captive, that they didn't hear about. But they heard that the mother had passed away. So Abaye says, okay, now the halacha is, tilsi avin lo la'achsa, so a third of the property they give to the remaining sister over here. But tilsi avin lo la'inuka, a third they give to the child, because most definitely this child gets at least a third of the properties. Because if the mother died, so the inheritance goes three way, because there's the daughter, there were three daughters, so it goes three ways to all three daughters. Now, the one daughter here gets a third. The one daughter that was also here who died, her son gets that. And the other daughter, there's a third That's the one that we're not sure about that was taken the captive. We don't know if she died or if she's alive. So you give a third to this one, a third to the child, v'idach tilson, that third. So what do you do with that one? So you have vin and danka, so you give a danka, which is a sixth, which is a half of that third. Half of that third you give la'achsa, to the sister over here, either way you look at it. Because if that sister that was in captivity had died, so half of her inheritance, she has two inheritors now, her two other sisters. Because her mother died, she didn't have any children herself, she has two other sisters, one sister died, has a child, and then there's the other sister. So either way you look at it, if she died, so half of her portion goes to this one. And if she didn't die, so fine. Anyway, we get her closest relative to take care of her properties. Now, v'idach danka, now the other half of that third, we don't give to her, because maybe it belongs to the minor. And we can't put a relative into the properties of a minor. But we also don't give it to the minor itself, because maybe that woman is alive, that captive, and we can't put a katan l'nechsei shavui. So makmin l'apotropoli nuka, so we appoint a caretaker to take care of it for the welfare of that child. Now Rava Amar here, he also disagreed. He says, no, migdem makim apotropoli danka, once we're appointing anyway a caretaker for a sixth, meaning half of that third, so makmin l'nam apotropoli idach danka, so we appoint an apotropos for that whole third of that captive sister to take care of all that. Now the Gemara continues with a related story that will relate back to one of the halachas we mentioned before. The Gemara brings that Mori Bar Isik, the name of a person, Asale Acha Mebechazai. A brother of his came from Bechazai, and that is his father had originally left from where they lived to Bechazai, and he had married a woman there and gave birth to a child over there. Now later on, Mori then, after his father passed away, came back to where his father and he had come from to take over his father's properties. Now at a later point in time, this other son came to get his fair share, his half of the inheritance, because he was his paternal brother from that other woman. So he came to get his inheritance. Amalei plagli, so he said to Mari, says, divide the estate with me. So Amalei le'danulach. Mari says, I don't know who you are. How do I know you're that brother that my father had in Bechizai? So asla kamed Rav Chizda. So he came in front of Rav Chizda. Amalei Shabbat Kamalach. So Rav Chizda said to that, quote, brother, he says that Mari has a good claim to you, that he doesn't recognize you. And that's not considered, a scam or something. Because when he left from you, you were just a little child. You didn't have a beard at that point in time. Now you're coming with a full beard. Shanem, like it says, the Pasuk in Bereishis, it says, Vayakar Yosef es Echav. That Yosef recognized his brothers when they came down to Mitzrayim, because when he left from them, they all had full beards. So they looked the same as they always did. But it says in the Pasuk, V'heim lo hikiruhu, but they didn't recognize Yosef. Why? Melamed sheyotze b'lichasim mezaken, because that teaches us when he left, when he was sold down to Egypt, he was sold without a beard. Uba b'chasim mezaken, and now he comes with a full beard. They don't recognize him, so it makes sense that he could say he doesn't know if you're that brother, that he doesn't recognize you. So Amalei, Rav Chizda said to that purported brother, Zil aisi sahadi da'chuhat, go bring witnesses that could testify that you're his brother, and then you'll split the inheritance. So Amalei, so this guy said to Rav Chizda, he says, Isli sahadi, I have witnesses who could testify that I'm his other brother. But for the Chalimene, they're afraid of Mari. The Gavra Limahu, because he's a rough type of guy. He's a mobster. He's gonna break his legs if they say testimony. So Amalei Ledidei, so Rav Chizda said to Mari, he says, Zil ant, Aisi sahadi delav achuchu. You know what? You bring witnesses that could testify that he's not your brother. In other words, those same witnesses that your brother claims he has, bring them, and let them testify that he's not your brother, or get other witnesses to testify that he's not your brother. So Amalei, so Mari said to Rav Chizda, Dina hachi, that's the law? Hamitza mechaveir of alaraya. We know the law is that whoever wants to collect from someone else, it's upon him the onus to bring testimony. I have to prove that he's not my brother. I'm the defendant. He has to bring the proof. So Amalei, so Rav Chizda said to Mari, hachi dainalach. This is how I'm going to judge you. And all your rough mobster type of friends, that this is because you're intimidating other people, the onus is on you to prove that he's not your brother. So Amalei, so Mari said to Rav Chizda, what's your point? If they're afraid of me, so what are you going to gain? Saif, at the end of the day, Asa Sahadi Vilay Masadi. The witnesses are going to come, and they're not going to say testimony the way he claims, or the way you want it to be. They're going to say like me, because they're afraid of me. So what's the point? If I'm going to bring them, anyway, you're not going to get what you want. So Amalei, Rav Chizda said to him, no. Tarti lo avdi. Two negatives they're not going to do. In other words, because they're afraid of you, they'll be silent through intimidation, and they're not going to come and testify for his benefit. But to do two wrongs, In other words, not only to be silent, but actually to say false testimony for you, that they're not going to do. So if you bring them and you're going to force them to testify, then they will say the truth. So the Gemara tells that Losaif at the end, Asu Zahadi Dachuhu. The witnesses came and testified that he is his brother. So Amalei, so that brother now said to Rav Chisda, so now that I get half the inheritance, Lifligli Nami Mi Pardise, I want to split with me also the vineyards, Ubustini, and the orchards of the trees, the shussel that he planted and he made the land better. I want to get half of that too, as it is in its more upper value that it is now because of the work that he did with it. So Amalei, so Rav Chisda said to Mori, Shapur Kamalach, your brother has a good claim. Now that we learn the Mishnah Baba Basta, the Mishnah says, "Hanich banim gedolim u'katanim." Someone passed away and he left adult and minor sons. Vishbichu gedolim mesan lechasim. Now the older sons, they're taking over the father's estate and they work the land. They make it better than the father did. Says the Mishnah, "Hishbichu leemtza." The benefit, the increased value, the older brothers, although they're doing all the work, they don't get it. They have to split amongst fairly all the brothers. And so too, as the Gemara says on top of Mem and Aleph, Achinam Rabba, so too Rabba said, Hishpichu le'emtza, that the split, the benefit, doesn't go just for the brothers that worked in it, it goes to the middle. Same thing over here, where although Mari did all the work, but since he had a brother, that Shvach doesn't go only to Mari, it goes to this brother too. Now Rashi actually says not to be gurus this, Achinam Rabba, Hishpichu le'emtza, because it's not the type of a Gemara to bring Amirom, who Rabba is an Amir, to support a clear mission of Baba Basu. Moreover, Rashi says that Rabba was a student of Rav Chisda. How could Rav Chisda be quoting in the name of his student, Rabba? So, but Rashi says, if one would be gurus this statement, one would have to say V'chein Amar Rav, not Rabba, who Rav was the Rebbe of Rav Chisda. But still, why would he be quoting an Amora to support a Mishnah? So that would be because there is an opinion mentioned above Baba Basak of Mem Gimel Mabeis that this halacha was only taught when there's a shvach of the estate that came through the property itself. But if, let's say, the Shvach came because one of the brothers worked it, then actually the Shvach would go to that brother. Now, therefore, that's what Rav Chisda was quoting this halacha of Rav to say that it's not like that teaching over there, Mababa Basa. Rather, that this halacha of the Mishnah over there would even be saying that the Shvach goes le'emtza is even if it came through the efforts of one of the brothers, like here in this case, where Amari was shasl pardis, that he planted an orchard, that shvach is going to go to the middle. And therefore, Rav Chisda was saying that he has a good claim. Even what you had made better, he gets half of that. Now, on that, Amalei Abaya asked Rav Chisda, who was comparing that Mishnah Baba Basra to the story over here with Mari, Abaya asked, "Mi dami, is it comparable?" Hasam gedolim gabi getanim miyadi. There, when the father died and he left over many sons, adult sons and minor sons, so the adult sons know of the minor sons and they know that they're going to have to take their portion. So, v'komachli, obviously that when they're working, they're forgiving, they know why we're doing the work and they're not. Okay, they're minors, but we split it evenly. Okay, that's what halacha is going to be, that the shvach goes l'emtza. But hacha, in this case with Mari, mi yada, did Mari know that he had brothers delechel, to say that he was meichel, that he forgave and that the brother should get a portion of the shvach? So the Gemara says that a galgal milsa, so this question that was being debated, it rolled until it matu l'kamed Rabami, reached in front of Rabami. And Amalahu, he said to them, that gedolim izu, says, even greater than this. You have a case, which is why the Gemara brought in this story, which we mentioned before the halacha, that we bring a relative to go down to the properties of a person that was taken as a captive, that if the owner ultimately comes, the halacha is that the owner takes his stuff back, because it's really his field. And still, as we quoted earlier, they said, Shamalhem Ka'ariz, still, even though it's not this guy's field, it's not this relative's field, it's the captive's field. And when the captive comes back, he takes his field back. And yet still we say that the person who worked it will get his fair share, like an Ariz, like a sharecropper. So Hashta Didei, so Rabami was claiming, he says, this, where the brother who, the adult, this guy who Murray was working it was his own land, because as far as he knows, he doesn't know who the other brother is. It's his own land. Lo yavinin lei? Do you think we're not going to give him that he worked and he made it better for himself? Do you think we're not going to give him at least like a sharecropper in the other half? What is it that Rav Chisda is saying that it goes le'emtza? Sabaya, first of all, said that no, it's not comparable. Rabbam is saying, how could you say that it's le'emtza, that he doesn't get the other half, that the other brother gets the half even from the shvach that he made? Says Rabbami, at least like an oris, Mari should get, because not only should he get the half, but he should get even more, even what he did for his brother's half, at least like a sharecropper. Because even when it's not his own field, when it's his relatives that he didn't yarshin from, he gets like a sharecropper. For sure here, where it's his own land, for sure he should get like a sharecropper. So the Gemara says that Ahadru Ahal the Kamed Rav Chizda. So they went and took what Rabami had said, and they brought it back to Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda was claiming, no, even Stephen, he gets 50, he gets 50. Rav Mori was saying, look, at least in the other brother's 50, at least since Mori did all the work, he should get at least like an Aris. So Amal Hus, Rav Chizda responded to that claim by saying, Mi Dami, is it comparable? Hasam, Bir Shuz, there in the halacha of that we bring a Yerish down to the Nichzeh of the Shavuot, of the captive, that's done with the permission and with the approval of the court. That's what nachis, that he comes down to the field. That's the halacha that may read in, the court brings down the relative to the properties of the captive. And therefore we'll say that we give him the rights of a sharecropper, as we said, because we don't want him to ruin the field, so we give it to him. Hacha labishus nachis, he and Mari, when he went to work in the field, he didn't consult with the court first to say that we're going to give him like a sharecropper. He did on his own. But that doesn't mean that he gets in his brother's share any rights like a sharecropper. But moreover, says Rav Chizda, even if he would come to consult, we would not put him to take care of his brother who comes from Beit Chazoi to take care of his share, because he's a brother on cotton who, and that brother was a minor. That's one of the other halachas that we mentioned. We don't make a relative to take care of the property of a minor. So therefore, of course, even if they would consult the court, they wouldn't even let him go down. So it says Rav Chizda, no, I stick by it. He does not get like a sharecropper. It's shvach is le'emtza. So Adrula kamed Rabami. They brought back Rav Chizda's response back to Rabami. So Amalhu, he said to them, oh, lo samu kamai. They didn't conclude in front of me to explain to me that the katanhu, that this brother of Maru was a minor. Of course, says Rabami, if he was a minor, then my claim is negligible, because my claim was only that it shouldn't be any less than that case over there by the Yerish Lonichse Shavit, I guess like a sharecropper, but that, you're right, doesn't apply. When that person is a minor, we don't take a relative to take care of that, and therefore here the brother was a minor, though we don't, and that's how we said he didn't have a beard. So then, yes, we don't put the Karev, who is Mari, to take care of it, and therefore you're right, he has no right to go there, and even though he worked it, that we take him away from there, and he doesn't even get like a sharecropper, and that's why he's correct, like Rav Chizda said, that it split even what he had done to increase the land, is shvach is le'emtza, between Mari and that brother.